Welcome to Refresh, a podcast designed to revive, recharge, and renew your faith and give you the tools to follow Jesus. Refresh comes to you from the Salvation Army in Gwinnett County, Georgia. We meet in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or online on Facebook and YouTube at Sal Army Gwinnett. We are excited that you have joined us this week and pray that God will bring His Word to life. And now, for our speaker.
This is why I love to have the scripture read before you preach, because then I don't have to say those names. Thank you very much, Ada. That was very, very sweet. Well, I have to say, I'm so glad I said yes to preaching and not to the kids' corner. So God bless you, Jessie. She might be out recovering. I'm not sure where she is. Well, good morning. Good morning, sweet church family. And a special shout out to the women in our congregation this morning, the girls, the young women who are looking to us, the next generation, to help lead and guide them. And a special shout out, especially to our girlfriends online. God bless you wherever you are. You are amazing. You are beautiful. And, you know, I really appreciate the sisterhood that we have here in the church. Many of my sisters in Christ are found within these four walls. It's an authentic group. It is an encouraging group. And it's a very significant and needed group. So, ladies, we love each other, and thank you for the encouragement that we find within the group as well as to others. We are God's image bearers, aren't we? And we have seen in this group how people have sacrificially and fearlessly, oftentimes, given not only life to their children, but have then spoken life as they've continued to grow and into the lives of so many other young people and children as well. Well, if you haven't had a chance to travel lately, church family, I would invite you to travel with me just for a moment to Cayambe, Ecuador. Come sit with me and our small Salvation Army International Development Team on a short wooden bench propped against the back wall of the mayor's office in Cayambe. It's Friday, and Fridays are a good day in Cayambe. Like he does every Friday, the mayor has taken out his notebook and his pencil, and he is sitting at his desk ready to receive and to listen to members of the community who have come to share something with him. And most of them have come to request something of him. Our group, and now you, we are only present to observe in this community experience. Well, the first gentleman approaches the mayor and respectfully asks if it would be possible to have the water truck come and deliver water three times a week in his village instead of two. Well, says the mayor, what days would you like? Well, with all respect, sir, would it be possible to have water delivered on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, not just Tuesday and Thursday? Looking at the city's water schedule, the mayor finally responds, well, let me see. Sí, aprobado, he proclaims, approved. The new schedule will start in your village next week. Next person in line, the mayor summons. Dressed in her typical clothing, her typical Ecuadorian garb, a small group of Ecuadorian women known as cholitas appear. As they pass in front of all of us, they nervously giggle because they ask us to forgive them for turning their backs on us when they address the mayor. It is clear they are united in cause and clear in their respect. Mr. Mayor, the leader begins, with all due respect, we are here to request more land for our business. And what do you need more land for? Asks the curious mayor. Well, we need more land because we want to raise more guinea pigs Fun fact, guinea pig is the national dish of Ecuador and in high demand, especially for tourists. Ada, you were shaking your head. Have you participated in that? Your parents have. Well, get in line if you're a tourist. They are in high demand. They need more space to raise more guinea pigs. Well, the mayor then asks them, well, how much land do you need? And they reply with an already agreed upon, evidently large number of additional square feet. The mayor rolls back on the back of the two legs of his chair, and while laughing, he says, well, ladies, are you going to raise guinea pigs or are you going to raise elephants? The women giggle with their high little laugh covering their mouths. Well, very well, ladies, says the mayor. Aprobado. I will see that you receive an additional allotment of land next week for your guinea pigs. They scurry past us, bowing all the way out so as to not turn their backs to all of us who have been observing this sweet community experience. It was like experiencing a make-believe world for a few precious moments, and it was altogether lovely. Well, now back to reality. From Ecuador, let's go a little further back in time to the plains of Moab, across the Jordan River from Jericho, where we find another group of women. They're looking for land too, but for a very different reason. It was read to us from the book of Numbers, chapter 27. Now, the context for this somewhat obscure portion of scripture is that God had promised the children of Abraham from the very beginning of time until this very day that they would inherit land. According to what? The size of their family's tribe. Not according to how many guinea pigs they were raising. So now it was time to divide up the land. In anticipation of the soon expected entrance into the land of Canaan, Moses was now numbering the people in order to determine how much land should be allotted to each tribe. Maintaining the inheritance from generation to generation was very important and extremely significant to the families of those days and to the tribes to which they belonged. Now, according to the culture, only who was counted in the census? The men. Only the males were counted in the census. And this was a problem for Zelophehad, because he didn't have any sons, did he? He only had 5 daughters. Therefore, their inheritance, their claim to the land for their tribe was going to die with the death of the father, and nothing would be passed on to his inheritance. But enter the 5 courageous daughters of Zelophehad, who were included in the scriptures because they stepped up and they spoke out. Now, what made these girls hope? What made them ever think that they had a chance of getting land that had never been given to women before? The odds were against them. But something or someone convinced them to try, and they were determined to ask. I think first they understood that the grace of God is greater than our fears. We all have fears, don't we? We can relate to these 5 sisters already. They knew that the grace of God was greater than their fears on that very day. If you look in verse 1, we see the genealogy, as Ada read for us. The names of the 5 daughters are given. And they are called by name. When a name is written in the scripture, it is significant. Many men and women's names are not in the scriptures, but a story is told of them. The 5 daughters' names were listed. Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. Now, according to historians, from the names that the girls were given, we can know that they were brought up to in a God-fearing family. And how do we know this? because the last two letters of their name, A-H, are the same last letters in the name Jehovah. And so it's a contraction of the Hebrew form of Jehovah that each of these girls' names bear. I love that. I love to hear that in the name. Many of us know what our names mean. Mine means battle maiden, and I'm not sure about that. But we love to know what our name means. And here we find godly sisters, strong in faith. And we can safely say that they were women of faith. Now, the mother is not mentioned, interestingly. Not uncommon, always, in Scripture. So we don't know too much about her if she passed before the father. But we know that he raised his children in this way, and they served a just God. Now, this is where things get interesting. The last words of the first verse say what? They came forward. Zelophehad's five daughters came forward. Now, when is the last time you remember wanting to come forward and stand up and speak out for something? It could be small, it could be great. That doesn't really matter. Maybe you were the only one in school who felt what you were seeing and hearing was wrong. Maybe you're the only one in your job that understood something was happening that shouldn't be happening. Maybe you're the only one in your family who wants to stand up for what's right and speak out. It's not easy because we all have fears, don't we? Well, why should these girls have been afraid, right? There are five of them, pretty strong. Even got a weapon there, I think. Well, you know this. Women were meant to be invisible in the Bible days, in the culture of that day. Their voices were not heard, and nor were they requested. Their opinions were never asked. They could not vote. And they were discriminated against and refused benefits that other people, the males, received in the culture. So these are some reasons why they might have just been a little afraid. Now, we already mentioned that these were women of faith and that they understood that God had given them the promise of an inheritance to Israel in the land of Canaan. They were part of that nation. They knew that the promise involved a land of beauty, of fruitfulness, and blessing. And they desired to be a part of that and belong to it, like the other tribes did as well. Well, now Israel, remember, doesn't have an inch of land yet. It still belongs to God. And these girls came asking for their part of their inheritance and decided on this day, we will step up and we will speak out. As they prepared for that moment, I can imagine them around a fire, all talking and planning their strategy. There were five women. It could have taken a little while. And they all were discussing the details of their strategy. And they were probably talking over the very fact that under the law, the females had no right to the land they were about to request. But get this. The sisters also understood that the offer of land to Israel was not made on the basis of law, but what? Grace. God's grace. God had not said that Israel would have to earn the land, but that it was a gift of his grace to them. So this removed the inheritance component completely from the moment, and the girls knew it. They discovered that dealing with the law was hopeless. But with God's grace, anything was possible. We could just say amen and go home right now. Well, based on that, they came before Moses and asked for their inheritance. With their confidence in the promise of God and understanding that his grace was greater than their fears, what did they do? Let's look at verse 2. They approached the congregation tent and boldly stood in front of Moses, the priest, Eleazar, the Israelite clan chiefs, and even before the whole congregation. How did they approach the congregation of Moses? Boldly. Boldly. They boldly approached and stood before Moses, the grand leader, standing at the door of the tent meeting. They boldly stood before Eleazar, the priest, and the clan chiefs, and they boldly stood in front of the whole congregation, which can be a little intimidating, which scriptures say could have been up to 1 million people. Well, remember that fear you thought about? What about us? You know, the scriptures are here for us to consider, right? We read, we understand, and we consider. What do we consider this morning? Does fear keep me from stepping up and speaking out for God's justice? Am I known as a voice for those whose voices cannot be heard? Read with me the following line, our prayer. Holy Spirit, give me the courage to identify and conquer my fears for others and for your glory, because your grace is enough for me. Well, we thank God because his grace is greater than our fears. But we see that the pressure and the deterrence are not quite over for our five courageous daughters. What about the cultural barriers that served as obstacles for them? We've mentioned a few. So here they are standing in front of these cultural barriers. How did they handle them? How do we handle those cultural barriers when we know God is asking us to do something and we come up against them? Well, let's know that the grace of God is greater than our cultural barriers. The grace of God was greater than the barriers that the five daughters stood in front of, and they knew it. We need to know it. They knew it, and that's when their faith began. So in verses 3-7, a little summary there, they explained to Moses, our father died in the wilderness. Why should his name disappear from his clan? Simply because no boys were born to him. We request that you give us our land just as you were giving it to the descendants of our uncles. I think we're going to have some upset uncles in just a minute. Wow, this is pretty big stuff for these gals. We read those words rather quickly, not totally realizing the significance of this very moment. These girls were determined to have their inheritance in spite of the social and cultural obstacles that stood in their way. They decided they would step up and speak out, and their faith journey continues. Well, it must have been an unusual sight to behold, seeing the five sisters at the door of the tent. We might expect that women, heirs to Egyptian slavery under law that generally favor men, might react by keeping silent or by accepting as normal the rule decreed for them to follow, as so many women had done in the past. We might expect the women in those days to stay close to their tents. We might expect them to remain out of sight and to not go far from their families. But remember, these were women of faith, and they knew that his grace was greater than any obstacle they could face, and nothing was going to stop them. Now, here is Moses. I'm thinking maybe a first-time request has now come across his desk. Now, he was used to solving problems. He was their leader. Problems like, sort of like we have today, deciding between in-laws and outlaws, settling problems between husbands and wives, settling problems with quarreling children, and even dietary issues for those who didn't like what was on the menu for that day. But when these women stepped forward, Moses must have at least been taken back as he heard their request. It seems as though it was a first, and he wasn't quite sure what he should do as they asked for their father's land to be passed on to them. He didn't feel he could depend on his own wisdom. He might have not also wanted to take the blame for whatever answer was coming. So what do we read in verse 5? He disappeared inside the tent to ask the Eternal One what should be done. He brought the case before the Lord and asked for his wisdom And what happened? Verses 6 and 7, if you're following along. God answered Moses and said, Zelophehad's daughters make a good point. Yay, God. They're right. Double yay, God. So do as they ask. Triple yay, God. Give them an inheritance such as would be given to a son. They shall have land alongside their uncle's families. He's going to give a little to the uncles too. Well, it must have been Women's Sunday that day in front of the tent. And a just answer came from our God. And it probably was a big surprise to many. They don't say what the reaction outside the tent was, right? They left that for our imagination. Well, just decisions, my friends, are not always popular with everyone, especially when it means that someone else might have to step to the side or step back. Just sit in that for a minute. Well, our courageous daughters have already been good teachers to us this morning, haven't they? And again, we pause to consider, is there something the Holy Spirit is asking me to take a stand on in my daily life? Is there something stopping me from responding? Read with me. Holy Spirit, give me the courage to speak into cultural barriers that do not represent the inclusive love of God for all, because your grace is enough for me. So grace is winning the race so far with our fears and with our cultural limitations and barriers. And we see in verse 8 that the girls show us that the grace of God is greater than our past limitations. The grace of God was greater than all that was before them, and these girls knew it because they were women of faith. Now we get to verses 8 to 11, and we bring our story home where God has spoken to Moses from the tent with surprising words. In the Voice translation, it says, moreover. So in Bible study, we would look at that and say, moreover what? Well, it really means, wait, there's more. Tell the Israelites that in the future they should pass the inheritance to the daughter if there is no son. If a man doesn't have any daughters either, then after he dies, and then he lists who it would go to after the daughters. And the last line, this is the system you should apply as a permanent law for the Israelites. Coming from me, the Eternal One, Jehovah, God, through Moses. Wow, again. Yay, God, again. These girls single-handedly changed the future forever. It's like, aprobado. More land to raise guinea pigs for the rest of your lives. Forever. No more votes in the House or the Senate. No more executive orders to be signed. It's done. No more discussion. It's done. Get on board, little children. It's done. And justice has prevailed. Well, our five courageous daughters changed history, didn't they? Because they knew the grace of God in their lives was greater than their fears and greater than the obstacles and greater than the limitations that had been put on them in their culture. Many other people have done the same since this time. Men, women, children. We've had many history changers over the years. Well, meet Ruby Bridges. If you're my age, you might know who she is. She's a modern-day history changer. The American history books will confirm the story of a federal judge who ordered New Orleans to open its public schools to African-American children in 1960. During these dark days, and they deeply scarred our history in the United States. The white parents decided that if they let the black children in their schools, they would keep their children out. This is very difficult, and I apologize. They let it be known that any black children who came to school would be in for some big trouble. So the black children stayed home too. All the black children except Ruby Bridges. Her parents sent her to school every day, all by herself. She was 6 years old. Every morning she walked alone through a heckling crowd to an empty school. White people lined both sides of the street, shaking their fists at her. But every morning at 10 minutes to 8, Ruby walked head up, eyes ahead, straight through the mob. Two U.S. Marshals walked ahead of her, and two behind her. Then she spent the day alone learning from her teachers inside the big, silent school building. Harvard professor Robert Coles was curious about what went into the making of a courageous child like Ruby. So he talked to who? It's Mother's Day, Ruby's mother. And in his book, The Moral Life of Children, he tells what Ruby's mother said. "Well, you know," she said, "there's a lot of people who talk about doing good, and a lot of people who argue about what's good and what's not good. But there are folks who just put their lives on the line for what's right." My friends, the church is not the past. We are the future. Today's issues and conflicts require movement. Sometimes when it's not popular, and many times when it's not comfortable. It is said that you can be courageous or comfortable, but you cannot be both. Well, we are the church, and God has given us His Holy Spirit, and may He give us more courage through His Spirit to move forward in faith, making new plans where there have been none. Go where there is a new path, Ruby Bridges said, as an adult, and start a new one. Has courage skipped my generation? To consider, is God asking me to go where there is no path and to start a new one? Let's read. Holy Spirit, give me courage to move forward and start a new path, irrespective of my past limitations, because your grace is enough for me. Well, we come to the end of our story, and I suppose that's when the real party began. Numbers 27, the first 11 verses, obscure as they might be, as unfamiliar to most of us as they might have been, is the record of an unfair cultural tradition in the Old Testament. This was a social justice issue, wasn't it? They didn't call it that. They didn't have a committee. But that's what it was. Interestingly enough, someone in their village should have stood up for the five daughters, but no one did. But the church has been placed on this earth to do just that. Stay close to those who suffer and speak up for injustice. Let's not turn a blind eye. We see it, we hear it, we feel it. Our knees might shake a little bit. We might get a knot in our stomach. Our heart might beat a little faster. At least we're not standing in front of Moses, right? But we must keep approaching the door of society's tent. And how do we approach it? Boldly. Boldly, as our courageous daughters did. And they lived out what we call the Micah mandate. You know Micah 6:8 very well. Let's read it together. "And what does the Lord require of you to act justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. We also read those pretty quick, and sometimes when I'm trying to memorize it, I get them a little mixed up. And some people just love justice. But what does the verse say? Act. There's a lot of people in different generations that love justice. It's not enough, my friends. Love injustice, excuse me. It's not enough. We are to act justly, not just love it. In a message in Lampedusa, Italy, from the late Pope Francis, his words seem to confirm this very dilemma that we've talked about this morning. And he shared these rather haunting words. We are seeing a globalization of indifference. There is a culture of conflict which makes us think only of ourselves. It makes us live in soap bubbles, which, however lovely they are also insubstantial. We've become used to the suffering of others, and it doesn't affect me. No one in our world feels responsible. Who is responsible for the blood of our brothers and sisters, the refugees who are washed up on the shore in the Mediterranean? I don't have anything to do with it. It must be somebody else out there. Certainly not me. When no one is to blame, and he ended his speech this way, everyone is to blame. May God help us. May God help the church. We are the church. Well, I thank the leaders of this church who are teaching holistic ministry and holiness and a full salvation, teaching us to love each other, to love others in the kingdom. If we can commit to intentionally doing more of that, we're doing the right things, my friends. Let's be intentional and do more of it. And who knows what changes can take place in our communities, in our church, in our own lives. He only needs a responsive heart. So who are the next courageous daughters or sons in this generation? Who will be the next Ruby Bridges in this generation, in this church family? Young people, don't look at your parents. They live their own lives, and you let them know that you live yours. So don't look at them now. Who is ready to step up and speak out? Well, from our Cholitas friends in Cayambe, Ecuador, to our five courageous daughters in the Moab Plains in Israel, we have seen how they changed history by stepping up and speaking out. It's really not that complicated. And that's how God works, isn't it? He calls regular people like you and me, men and women, boys and girls, young people, to live by faith and believe with all our hearts that His grace is greater than that fear you thought of. It's greater than all those barriers that you see at school and at work and in your family. And it's greater than whatever past you have had that even today wants to hold you captive. Don't let it. Because through the Spirit's guidance in our lives, His grace is enough for us. Well, there's lots of takeaways in our scripture this morning, aren't there? Even the praise band reminded us, thank you very much, that grace is running towards us. And we were made for less? No, we were made for more. And maybe the greatest reminder of our scripture this morning is that we are not under law. We are under grace. And our spiritual inheritance is ours by asking, by grace through faith.
Thank you for listening to Refresh. Be sure to hit subscribe and like us on Facebook and YouTube to never miss an episode. If you liked what you heard, be sure to share it with your friends and family. We pray that you will be refreshed and ready to take on your week. See you next time. God bless.